And our special guest tonight, GL Davies. We are going to be taking final calls with him when we come back in a moment. We'll also talk about Harvest, the true story of alien abductions, and then we'll get into his other book, A Most Haunted House. All that with you next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with you, GL Davies with us, Harvest, the true story of alien abduction. GL's websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. GL, Susan, the abductee, has remained anonymous. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, I think so. I think because what you've got to remember is your audience, for the most part, and you and I, George, we're happy to talk about the paranormal. We're happy to discuss it and,
sure,
and delve into it. But for the rest of the world, they find it very, very challenging. And people have emailed me. Thank you very much. People have already started emailing me from your amazing show. They've gone to harvestalienabduction@gmail.com and sharing experiences. Well, the first one I read during the break actually said that, please don't think I'm a crank. Please don't think that I'm crazy, you know. And they were very reluctant to tell me the story, and I think that tells you everything you need to know. So Susan, she's from a very professional family. They didn't believe in it. There's two things that will happen, I believe, where Susan will talk to you one day instead of me. And number one is, and it sounds very sad, is when her parents have died, because the shame of her family, knowing that she believes she has been the subject of horrific alien, you know, alien visitation and abuse in Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, is too much for her to bear. And second, when this period of soft disclosure we're in has taken more form and it's got more weight and more of us are talking about this without judgment, without labels. And that is the whole point of Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, or Ghost Sex to Violation, or Haunted Horror of Halford West, or any of my books or any of my articles on theparanormalchronicles.com, is let's talk about this. Doesn't matter if you're a skeptic or a believer or you're sat on the fence, it doesn't matter. Let's just talk about this, because look at all the things that used to be a mystery, used to be witchcraft
or
superstition, but now is real because we've proved it. Over the summer, during when the world was in chaos, okay, not only did the Pentagon admit that they were studying these unidentified aerial phenomenon, NASA came out and they believe very confidently there's a minimum of 8 Earth-like planets in our galaxy. 8, I think, is probably a very low number, but they said they believe there's a minimum of 8. And also some scientists, I can't remember off the top of my head if it was the Antarctic or North Pole, they did an experiment and they recorded particles working in reverse to our own. So it's the first ever evidence that there is a parallel universe working in reverse for ours, okay? So everything we think we know, we don't. And to quote the great wrestler Roddy Piper, just when you think you've got all the answers, I go and change the questions. And that's what science is. When science opens one door and solves a mystery, it opens a dozen more. You know, there is so much we don't know about the human mind, about our own psychology, the stuff we don't know about our own planet. We're learning stuff about our solar system, the universe, dimensions, time. Everything is a possibility. Nothing can be dismissed. In 100 years' time, ghosts and spirits could be a scientifically proven fact that dimensional beings were crossing in and out of our reality. And it's just something that is like accepted, you know? And Susan will come forward, I believe, when that day comes, when she can go out. If Susan went onto a local TV, which wasn't like your great show, George, but she just went onto like a general news show and talked about her experience, what do you think people would say in the comments? What do you think people would say to her in the supermarket?
Oh, they'd ridicule her.
Yeah. They'd ridicule her. And that is why people like Susan, people out there listening, that gentleman who emailed me, and I will get back to every email. If anyone wants to email harvestalienabduction@gmail.com, I will get back to you as soon as I can. I want to be part of that process where it makes it acceptable to talk and listen and just say, what if? You've been doing that for years, George. You,
yes,
and your team and your guests have been doing that for years. But we need it now that everybody just says, what if? What if? There's cultures in the world but accept ghosts and spirits as part of daily life. So what is so threatening and challenging about it? The Bible, and I don't want to upset anyone or challenge anyone, you know, the Bible is probably the most paranormal book in the world. It is the most paranormal book in the world. And people read that, and they take it part and pan as gospel. But then if somebody over here is saying, oh, I thought I saw an alien, they're crazy, tin hats and little green men. But the Bible, I believe, and you know, if you read books like Escaping from Eden, and I kind of touch a bit about it in Harvest, which is alien abduction, I believe that there probably was alien activity in the Bible as well. It's all there. If you've got, if you look for the information, it's all out there.
Let's take some calls with you, GL. Then I want to talk a little bit about your book, A Most Haunted House. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut to get things started. Michael, welcome.
George, how you been?
Okay, my friend. How about you?
Not too bad. I want to ask the guest one question. Well, let me make a comment first. I by far, I think mankind is the most violent, most hostile, most damaging animal on the planet.
Yep.
Can you name one good thing we've done to this planet? All we do is take and pollute and destroy. We kill each other. What's your opinion on that?
Interesting twist there, GL.
Yeah, thank you very much for your comment and call, Mike. You know, it's great, and I hope you and your family keep them safe. I agree wholeheartedly with you. You know, Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, it's not my views and opinions, but it's something I feel personally about. I say to people, okay, you know, I know this sounds like a very, like, you know, very strange analogy or metaphor to use. Say you're an alien being, right, and you fly into Earth, and you turn on the TV, right? You can pick up our TV, right? And you're just flashing through all the headlines, right? You've got race riots. You've got animals being killed. You've got forest fires, climate change. You've got war, all of this stuff. Would you think that alien being would think we were a race fighting for? Would that race think we were enhanced, spiritually enhanced? Would they think that we were in tune with our planet, with our nature? No, they would look at us as a pestilence. They would see us as like a disease roaming the planet. Now, everybody out there, we're not all like that, are we? There's really good people. There's amazing people on this planet, and we often lose sight of the things we do well. Look at music, guys. Look how incredible we are with music and art. Look at the love between a mum and a daughter, a father and his child. Look at the love we have for each other. Look at the kindness when people give. They give charity to people when they have very little themselves. And as a whole, we are a kind race. But unfortunately, we have this tribalistic instinct to kill and destroy. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Nietzsche said, the problem with man was, with humankind was, excuse me, is that we are stuck between ape and God. We are a spiritual animal, you know. We have all the base needs that we need to procreate, eat, you know, defend. We've got all those base needs. But at the end of the day, we have this big soul capable of so much. You know, even bad people love. Even bad people can do bad. They can do kind things. And you were spot on, Mike. You know, by the time we get to about 2050, over 75% of the rainforests will be gone. Nearly 80% of all wildlife on the planet will be gone. Parts of the ocean will be no-go zones because of all the plastic. Do you know what I mean? It's really sad, and I agree with you, Mike. I think that maybe these aliens come along and think they're a doomed race. We'll do what we want. So that is why we have to change. Two levels. We have to prove we are worth fighting for, and two, our governments have got to start protecting us.
We've got Kathy now, first-time caller in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Kath. Thanks.
Hello. I'm Hi. Calling to say that in 1987, I lived across the street from a park, a large city park, and I was on my way to my friend's house. I went every Thursday for dinner, and there was a bright light over the park. It looked like a small aircraft, I mean a small Piper plane. Anyway, we had just had an accident where a Piper had gone into someone's house, you know, it just shorted the runway. So I thought, boy, that's awfully low from the tree line. So I said a little prayer about the aircraft and that it would be help it, you know. Well, then I caught the light at the end of the street at the corner of the park, and the aircraft did not come by. And I thought, that's odd. You know, it should have had a straight line. So all of a sudden, I saw the aircraft, and it was over an apartment building. Anyway, I was running late to my dinner, so I just went through the light, and I didn't think too much about it. I just thought it was odd. And up about a quarter of a mile, they had been putting in an allotment, and in the allotment was the last place for a house, and there was trees there. And here this aircraft had settled down into those trees in that lot. And I thought, oh, is that odd or what? I mean, and it had this big, bright light, and I couldn't see anything but the bright light. I thought, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. But I'm late. I've got to get going. So I went on, and I'm going out to the country. So I turned down the street that I needed to be on my trip, and I here I am crossing railroad tracks, and now I pass a farmhouse, and here is that aircraft again, the third time again. Now this time it's only 40 feet above me, like the telephone pole. I don't know how tall telephone poles are, but I imagine around 40 feet. Anyway, here was this thing, and it was hovering. And as it hovered, I could see it was like a boomerang, and I could see the surface of it. It was like an old cash register that had nubs on it, like it was like an old typewriter that was gray, black, black and gray, you know, I mean dark, and had nubs. It was that kind of material. No windows, no landing gear, and it was just hovering. All right, this time it was too much for me. I had to stop, turn my car off, roll the window down, and, I mean, buzz my window down and turn the car off and listen to it. It sounded like an electric light. It had nothing but a hum. Then I was like, oh, my gosh. And it had three rows of lights, and the three rows of lights were just on the inside of the boomerang.
Well, you know what that was. Sounds like a prime case of a UFO, GL.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathy, for sharing that experience in such great detail. More and more people are coming forward with their own experiences, and it's really great that people like Kathy is sharing hers, because what Kathy saw, you know, she, by her own admission, she's not like an aviation expert. She thought it was an aircraft. And then she knows what she saw was not something we're familiar with. And now that the United States government have come across and said, yeah, there are actually strange objects coming into our space, you know, we've got to start thinking now, all these people have had these strange experiences, which we dismissed for decades. Suddenly we're like, actually, they might have seen stuff. Like if you take, for example, the International Space Station, they used to edit it all the time because it'd be stuff flying around, coming here, doing this. It'll be all kinds of berserk stuff happening up there. They've given up editing now. You're just watching the live feed. You just see something just drift across. The stereoscopic sun relay, they put these pixels on the sun, and people say, oh, they're Borg cubes. It's not. The pixels are hiding something behind it. There's stuff coming and going, guys. There's more stuff coming and going into this planet than ever before. And in Harvest, the True Story of Alien Abduction, while I was finalizing the production process, I did a chapter where I just said to people in Pembrokeshire, tell me your UFO experiences. It would be anonymous. I just want a chapter just to see what other people are experiencing. And it was phenomenal. People who had no idea what the book was about, what Susan's account was about, were talking about red balls of light going up the river, seeing large objects, seeing strange beings, strange creatures. 33 people, all unrelated, had the same dream. And I'd be fascinated if any of your listeners out there, George, has had the same, right? And if anyone has had any alien encounters like Kathy, please contact me at harvestalienabduction@gmail.com. I want to hear your encounters, okay? 33 people in Pembrokeshire had the same dream of a full moon in the sky, and next to the full moon was a red moon just slowly spinning. What is that all about? Exactly. Why are people having the same dreams? And I bet there's people listening now who've seen the red lights. They've had experiences like Kathy, where they've seen strange objects. People are probably having the same dreams. They're probably thinking about what we've talked about in Harvest, the true story of alien abduction, thinking, my God, I've had those pains. I've had those experiences. I've had those visions. I've seen the fox. I've seen the owl. I've seen women in a field. I've seen a weird jellyfish-like creature, thinking it was just a dream. And I think there is so much going on that we need to know now for a fact, just to give us peace of mind that there are alien beings, there are aircraft or dimensional beings coming into our world. We need to know so we can just make sense of it. It's healthy for our consciousnesses to know.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Welcome to the program. Hi, Cornelius.
Hi, George and Davies. George, I tell you, you got a super show. I can't wait till tomorrow when the election comes on. So I'm getting geared up.
Election Tuesday. Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Davies, I've got two questions for you. And one is, are you related to the actor named Davies? The British actor.
Which Davies? I don't have any famous relatives, I'm afraid, Cornelius.
Okay. Well, you must not be an actor.
All right, go ahead, Corny.
Sci-fi. But my question, see, I like I tell George, I'm the God, guns, and gold guy and the Bible, bullets, and beans guy. I think you're right. The Bible is a supernatural book, and we're in the end times, and these alien abductions are the devil's deceptions and stuff. Because if you call on the blood of Jesus, these aliens and demons or whatever you want to call them, they'll disappear. But I believe God has his ships and the devil has his ships. And so I wanted to know what you thought about that, and I'll take my answer off the air. Okay.
Cornelius, thank you so much, sir. And I hope you and your family are safe and well at this time. I really appreciate your call. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth into that because, you know, if you look at it from a religious perspective, and I know Paul Wallace did, who was on the show, great interview for his Escaping from Eden book. He was a minister, church minister, who started like just looking into the origins of the language of the Bible and found out all these great things. And like the Vatican, for example, they know the truth, and the Vatican have a press release ready to go for when it is announced there is alien life out there, sophisticated alien life. And that press release will basically encompass humanity with alien life and saying it was part of God's bigger plan, right? And if you look at the Bible, you talk about like the Nephilim, for example, these fallen ones, they went from Earth, they were from somewhere else. And I think you're right, Cornelius, what's not to say that some of these alien beings, the more positive ones, you know, the more spiritual experiences that, like, say, for example, Keith Anthony Blanchard had in his book Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge of the Soul, they are like angels. They are looking out for us. They are trying to be our guardians and protectors and put us on the right path. That fits really well. And then you've got these other beings, and they have no regard for us. They don't care about us. They want to hurt us. They want to torture us. They want to extract us. They don't care if you've got a wife and kids at home. They don't care that we feel and love and have emotion. They don't care. And they've come here and abducted us. And there's a lot of common threads in, because I studied this ghost sex, the violation. There are a lot of similarities between like demons, bad spirits, aliens, and dimensional beings.
Oh, it matches them perfectly, Gio, perfectly. Hey, we're going to come back and take some final calls with you. I'm going to ask you a quick couple questions about A Most Haunted House, that book, when we come back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. On our next Coast to Coast program, as we hit Monday, John Hogue is going to be with us for a couple hours, the prophecy expert on Nostradamus, with his predictions on the presidential election that will happen on Tuesday. He will have his prediction on our program tomorrow night. And then Kim Chesney joins us to talk about radical intuition on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with G.L. Davies as we talk about his work, Harvest, the True Story of Alien Abductions. And G.L., I hope you get tremendous response to this latest work.
Thank you so much, George. I really mean it. And thank you so much to your amazing team and all your listeners. All the reviews have come back for Harvest from like the pre-order launch, and every one of them have just said it's courageous, it's powerful, And what I've really liked, and this is what I'm trying to do, is probably what you're trying to do. People who aren't interested in the subject are saying, it's made me think. It's made me think twice. It's made me discuss the topic. And that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to make the paranormal normal. And, you know, your show is a huge part of that process, George. And, like, I thank you so much. And every single one of your listeners and all those people that have already emailed me, thank you. And everyone who's gone on my, you know, the website, the Paranormal Chronicles. And very quickly, George, just a little thing, because I know a lot of people are sat at home during COVID thinking, you know, what can they do with their lives? I'm actually a publisher for a company called www.6, that's the number 6th-books.com, okay? That's 6th-books.com. So if anyone out there has written a book about the paranormal or spirituality, hey, get in touch, right? Because you never know, could be you sat on a show in a year's time talking about your book. So go to www.6th-books.com, that's 6th-books.com. There's loads of amazing books about the paranormal there, and also we take unsolicited submissions. So get in touch. I'd love to work with you.
Super. Before we go to final calls, give us a brief synopsis of that book you wrote a year or so ago, A Most Haunted House.
A Most Haunted House, right, was my personal experiences based in a house I bought that, for intents and purposes, was haunted. And the book was a very warts and all look at, was the decline in my relationship and my mental health causing a perceived haunting? Or was it the haunting that was ripping my life apart? So I bought a house with a young lady. This was like 2003. Blissful beginnings, beautiful house, very easy sale. And within a few months, I was dependent to drink. She'd had an affair. We'd had all kinds of weird paranormal activity. It was terrible. It was terrifying. So I wrote that, and then people got in touch with me and they identified the house and said, hey, we used to live here in the late 80s, early 90s. And they'd also had a 18-month experience in the house, which was horrific. So I put the account of A Most Haunted House into a new and improved edition called Haunted Horror of Haverford West, okay? And that's got my account plus a new account, and it's got about 40 pages of rationale on what could be behind it. So if you're interested in hauntings and you don't want like the over sensationalized stuff, spinning heads, pea soup, people walking on the ceilings, this is about how hauntings affect you. It's slow. It's almost mundane. Little things going missing, little noises in the night, and then it builds and builds and it manifests into great destructive power. And that rips at you emotionally and mentally. And again, it's only speculation, but it's like, in some hauntings, whatever the entity in the house is feeding off your negativity. It loves the fact you're depressed. It loves the fact you're suicidal. It enjoys the fact you are dependent on alcohol. It enjoys the fact that there's no longer love in the house. It feeds off it. So Haunted Horror of Haverford West includes A Most Haunted House. And that is one of the most comprehensive documentations of a haunting, I believe, is out this. People have said it's one of the most terrifying books ever written. There was a list on YouTube by a famous YouTuber who did the scariest books of all time. That included, like, Faust and Stephen King. And Haunted Horror of Haverford West is number one. So my stuff is just very real. And because it's very real, people get those goosebump moments where they don't want to turn the light off at night. And it got to the degree where people were challenging each other to read the book. I dare you to read it. And then dozens and dozens of people claim they read the book and things started happening to them. Now, I think that's probably just suggestion. I don't think the book can manifest a haunting. I don't really think so. But A Most Haunted House, I'm dyslexic. I'm just a normal guy from Merdinsbridge in Haverford West, self-educated, and I wrote A Most Haunted House. I didn't expect anybody to read it, and it went on to sell over 75,000 copies and was the benchmark for true paranormal accounts. So if you're into your hauntings, then I highly recommend check out A Most Haunted House, or probably easier, read Haunted Horror of Haverford West by Meet G.L. Davis, along with Harvest, The True Story of Alien Abduction, or go for the trifecta and go for Go Sex and Violation, and you'll have very gritty, raw, in-depth accounts of people's alleged paranormal experiences. And as I said, I want you out there to be part investigation. I'm not going to tell you this is fact, this is fiction. I'm going to give all the information to you, and I want you to decide. If you're really skeptical and you think you've got rational explanations, brilliant, I want to hear from you. If you think this is real and you've had similar experiences, amazing. My thoughts go out to you. Get in touch with me, and then we can share that information. Yeah, it's certainly a very interesting career I've had with these books and hauntings.
Let's go east of the Rockies now with final calls. Mark in Detroit, welcome to the show. Hey, Mark, go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good,
Mark. Well, I'm calling about my occurrence in 2007, and I was messing with one in my backyard, and I took off and went down the street. And when I got down the street, it was down the street with me. And when I played with it again at the end of this corner, and I hit the light with three blinks, and then it hit me with three blinks. And then so I put my light in my pocket. I checked my watch. It was 1:34, and I was going down to check my front tire on my bike. And as I was going down, the little ball of light started coming down out the sky. But I could see it out my peripheral as I was going down out my left eye, and I was going to touch my tire and come directly back up. But before I can get back up, a light just hit the ground, and it automatically went down and looked. And from that, I couldn't move anymore. From that, it took so long for me to get back up to a upright position. And I popped out the back of it, and I seen everything was, like, regular looking like you would be without no light on you. And then it pulled me back in, and I'm popped out the front, and it was the same as the back. And I noticed that the light was just going across my chest, and so I cut my eyes to the left, and I seen the light going across the buildings, across Jefferson of the street. That's a big street that's in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, know it well.
Across the other street, across my chest. And so I finally looked up, and it was a ball of white light hitting me with a beam of light. And so I hollered, and it was a couple of people on the porch across the street. But it cut my voice off, and I couldn't say anything. So my thoughts was, I know I'm not standing in the light. It said, yes, you are.
Did it take you?
I'm not being illuminated. It said, yes, you are.
Did it take you, Mark?
And it said, I said, I know I'm not brilliant. It said, yes, you are. Took the light off me, shot up in the sky as a yellow ball of light, stopped, went counterclockwise into a ball of orange light, bounced up in back of me, and turned the whole sky to Avatar blue, fire orange, and then broad daylight. And this is at like something in the morning I hadn't looked yet. And then it bounced again, and it did the same thing three times. And as it did it the third time, the cloud that was in the sky opened up to a big black portal, like a big black circle,
yep,
all the way over, like 2-3 miles long. And then it went up into it. And then the clouds closed back, and the sky did the same thing again, Avatar blue, fire red, orange, and broad daylight all over Canada and everything. And then it was like a big round portal of smoke.
I think I remember that case, GL and Mark. That's pretty remarkable. We only got about a minute or so left, GL. But these cases are all over the place. Mark, thanks for that story.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for your courage to share that with us. Yeah, it's everywhere. You know, it's not just Mark. You know, Kathy's had her experiences. So many people have had all these different experiences that we have to take notice. Okay, maybe a large percent of them are explainable. You know, Project Blue Book investigated over 12,000 UFO sightings, but 701 of them remain a complete mystery. And these are from people who are working really hard to make them rational, to prove that they weren't UFOs. So there's more and more of these encounters, and I think we're going to see a lot more. I think soft disclosure, this period we're in, for a reason, because I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these sightings, UFOs, alien abductions. I think something big's coming, and it's coming very soon.
Absolutely. GL, thanks again for being on the program. Every time you're done with some new works, come on back. You're always invited to the program. And thank you for being with us. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.